You have to become like a child again. Saving faith is taking God at his word. 1 John 5:9 through 12 says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, that he has testified of his Son. He that believes on the Son has the witness in himself. And he that believes not, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God gave of his Son. What is the testimony? This is the testimony that God has given to us, and it is eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son has not life. So we see just believing God for his free gift of eternal life is so easy. It takes a childlike faith. Believe God what he says about his Son, and you have eternal life. You have to be born over again. You have to think like a child. A child will come to Christ, but we won't because we're adults. You have to be born over. You have to think over, it says. It's the simplest thing you could ever do is get born again. I mean the easiest thing you can ever do. But what about living the Christian life? Or being a disciple for Christ? That's another story altogether. The word disciple means a student or someone who learns, a pupil, and it is a costly. It takes hard work to study, to spend time with people, to do the work of the Lord, to deal with people's problems and their habits, to win them to Christ and to get them on the right direction in their Christian life. Don't expect somebody to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior as a child and then go out and live on their own. A child can't live on his own, and neither can a little child of Christ. He needs direction. He needs adults. He needs disciples. He needs a teacher. That's what they need. We have to forsake all for Christ. Greater love hath no man than he lay his life down for his friend. We have our families, but we have the Lord. And we have to take care of his people. Feed my sheep, Peter. 3 times he said to him. Jesus gives his followers some examples. Turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, 27. You need to see these examples he gives. Remember, these are Christians now he's talking to. And he's giving them examples how to live this Christian life. Because the gift of eternal life is very simple. He tells the seminary student that you need to become like a child. Very easy. Now he gives his followers some more advice here, how to live this Christian life. It's a whole other story. 3 illustrations our Lord gives. He's the best at illustrations, as you saw. Nicodemus got the picture. Luke 14, 27, he who does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple. Bearing a cross is hard. Doesn't say he who bear his cross cannot be born again and have eternal life, but you can't be his disciple. Bearing a cross to the people in Jesus' day was a familiar picture, and they understood it. The imagery to them was a very complicated thing. It's talking about bearing a cross. And it's not an easy thing to do. Paul says to us Christians now, the same thing, but even harder. He says that we should crucify ourselves daily. We need to kill the old man so Christ can live through the new man and become like Christ. We have to crucify ourselves daily. The old man, we have to kill him. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's bearing a cross every day, every morning, all the time. That's one of the illustrations he gives. He goes on to give 2 more examples. Keep looking in that passage. He says it's like a builder, not counting the cost before starting a project. And as a builder, I understand this. This can be a humbling experience to run out of money in the middle of a project.
Believers try to wear both hats. They try to live a Christian life in the way of the world. That's their first mistake. Remember what Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other. Notice there's no gray area ever with the Lord. You must be born again, period. No man can serve two masters. You will either love the one or hate the other. You're not going to like them. You're going to hate them. And you're going to love the one. You'll be loyal to one. You'll despise the other. That's what he says. And that's what will happen. It will happen. Don't think you can do it the other way. You can't do it. So don't even try to fool yourself. You will love the one, hate the other, be loyal to one, despise the other. The Lord said it, not me. I'm just reading what he says. He goes on to say, these things are difficult. He gives another example. Narrow is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. A Christian on the broad way will produce wages of sin. A Christian on the broad way will produce wages of sin. It's a misconception, that passage is. It goes on to say, the wages of sin is death. Yeah, a life of destruction will bring forth life of dead works every time. He goes on to say, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there's few there be that find it. Keep in mind that being difficult, getting saved, is not difficult. It's easy. A child can do it. But difficult is the way that leadeth unto life, a Christian life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it, it says. A little child can do it, and a grown-up must be like a little kid again. But the way is difficult. Studying is difficult. Discipling people is difficult. Helping people when they seem to not appreciate it is difficult. Doing the work at the church, it's difficult. Lending money to people, it's difficult. These are difficult things. Waiting for your reward is a difficult thing to do. Waiting for your eternal blessing is a difficult thing to do. But that's what we try to do. And these are the examples that he gives for us to do. It's not easy to be a Christian. Becoming a Christian is an easy thing. Being a Christian, a disciple, is a complicated thing. And those are the three illustrations he gives. They're very complicated. The next illustration he gives is like going to war with 10,000 people versus 20,000. And this is a great illustration. Fighting the foes of the devil can be almost like the Detroit Lions season, an 0-16. And that's exactly how it can be. Believe me when I tell you. You try to stop doing your old habits. You try to help someone out. You try to do the right thing. And it never seems to work. Have you been there? I've been there. The whole thing seems to turn around on you. And others do also. Even your Christian brothers and sisters seem to rub you the wrong way. You feel defeated. And you feel hopeless. Spiritual warfare is not easy. Jesus says, you must count the cost. And these are some of the lessons Jesus was teaching to his followers. And they were pressing hard on their hearts. Maybe they're pressing hard on your heart today. Are they? Well, if they're not, then start living like a disciple. And they will be pressing hard on your heart. This I can guarantee you. Any man who lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's going to happen. So, if they're not pressing on your heart, take a look at things. These lessons are the reasons why we don't want to jump to the conclusion that a person who does not bear fruit are not saved. Because being a disciple is a difficult thing. And when I say fruit, I mean habits that we don't have. We seem to look at people's habits and make a judgment
Why they're not at church? Oh, they're probably not saved. Why is he doing that? Oh, maybe he's not saved. These are the we don't want to jump to these conclusions. We want to be serious students of the Word of God. We want to be disciples for the Lord. That's what we want to be. Discarding them as unsaved people is you just not, there's no Christian accountability there whatsoever. John 6. Turn to John 6. Interesting passages coming up here. John 6. We look at people's habits. We look at people's ways, their church attendance. And we seem to think to ourselves that they're not saved. If most of the people came here, they probably got born again at one time. Because we preach the gospel here about as simple as you can get it. John 6, verse 60. Jesus says, just finished feeding the 5,000. Some people would say there's probably 13,000 because they're only counting men here. They don't count women and children. So there's 5,000 men fed, right? 5,000. That's a lot of people. Some people say there's 13. I'm going to be very gracious and liberal today, and I'm going to say there's only 7,000 with the women and children. 7,000. Okay, that's a lot of people. It says, many of his disciples, when they heard these, said, these are hard sayings. Who can hear them? Many of his disciples, followers of him. Verse 64. Look down at verse 64. I titled this, Quitting the Job. Quitting the Job. Jesus had just got done finishing all these things with the 5,000, the women and children. The next day, they didn't find Jesus around because he got in a boat and he went on the other side of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's like a big circle. So they got in boats, it says, and they went over there the next morning. Jesus rebukes them about coming there because they were hungry. But many of the 7,000 people were saved. It wasn't just 11 people that were saved. You got to remember this. They had the gift of eternal life. I doubt out of 7,000 people that only 11 were saved. It's very interesting what Jesus says here. He says, but there are some of you that believe not. But there were some that did believe. Out of 77,000 people, there was a majority of the people that did believe, by the way. Because he just fed 5,000 or 13,000 or 7,000 people with one loaf of bread and a fish. There were 12 baskets left over. That's pretty convincing evidence. So a majority of the people were saved. And even if it wasn't the majority of the people were saved, out of 7,000, at least 2,500 people were saved. We'll give them half. Very interesting. He says that. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who would believe not and who would betray him. He's talking about Judas, another one of his disciples. Nobody knew he wasn't saved. But the next verse down in 66, look at this, what it says. From that time on, many of his disciples went away and followed him no more. It's a sad verse, isn't it? I think it is. Because we know a lot of people like that in our lives that are saved, don't we? We know people who come to this church as kids, went off their way. Do they have eternal life? I would bet say they do. I knew the Sunday school's teachers here. I know the preachers here. But the counting of the cost and being a disciple is a very hard job. Is it all their fault? No, it's not. Because we're busy with our own lives, and we don't sacrifice our lives to disciple other people, to bring them back into the fold. Jesus said that he went for the 99 sheep, the last one. So a lot of the Christian accountability of our people we see in the world
and our own loved ones who are incarcerated and on drugs and alcohol like I was, we have to take some of the blame ourselves. We have a job to do. You know, we're not doing it. We're quitting the job. And many of his disciples went away and followed him no more.
Interesting, huh?
I find that passage really interesting. That brings a question when I was studying this passage. Is it fair of God to bless the Christian who serves God once in a while or not even at all? Is it fair of God to the people who serve God once in a while and not even at all to receive the same blessings and the same rewards as the Christian who serves him faithfully, day in and day out, week in and week out, cleaning the chapel, opening the chapel, doing this, doing that? Is it fair of God to do that? I don't think so. Neither does he. The fine print in your fire insurance policy. 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 27. Know you not that they which run a race, they all run, but only one person receives the prize? Paul says, therefore, I do not run like a man aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air, but I discipline my body and bring it in subjection, lest by any means I may be disqualified and not receive the prize. What in the world is he talking about here? He's talking about being disqualified from the Christian ministry, because you can be disqualified from it. And the prize he's talking about here is the reward prize that you will receive when you step out of this place and you meet your Lord, because he's going to hand you rewards for your faithfulness. And if you are not faithful, you will be saved, yet as by fire. That passage I didn't write down, but your works will be burned up. And only the works that are gold and precious silver will last through the fire. Gold of hay and stubble will be fried. It's the way it goes. So he's not the unjust God. He's fair. Just we don't see what's happening here because we haven't stepped out of here yet. Paul himself said he could be disqualified and not receive the prize. Can you imagine that? Paul saying that. This is speaking of being disqualified, as I said, from the Christian ministry and not receiving a reward from the Lord when he goes to heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:9-10. If we labor, whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether they be good or bad. Keep in mind this judgment seat right here is not a judgment seat of the lake of fire. That is a judgment that the people who have rejected Christ for the free gift of eternal life will stand at. Each one of the person at the lake of fire in Revelation 20, at that great white throne, will be cast in the lake of fire. This is the Christian judgment seat. It's called the Bema seat. And each one of us will give an account for our works, it says, whether they be good or they be bad. Something we want to take very serious, I would say, don't you? Because he's going to bring all things to our remembrance at that judgment seat. You know, when Paul talks about your works being burnt up, and you've been saved as by only fire, that's a horrifying passage. It means you only made it there because God bought you with his own blood. That's what that passage means. You have nothing to hand to him. This is where I think people make a mistake on the difference between eternal life and rewards passages.
hate to tell you, the Bible's written to Christians. And warnings for unsaved people. And warnings for Christians. We can't discard people and certain passages in the Bible to an unsaved person. He's unsaved. That lets me off the hook. No. If you read the Bible properly and carefully, you'll see the accountability falls on our behalf. And when you understand these things a lot clearer, your work for the Lord becomes a lot more clear. Because there's going to be a time we're going to stand in front of Him. Judgment starts at the house of God first, and then to the unbelievers. This is what should motivate us to live Christian lives. We want to have many rewards, and we want to rule and we want to reign with Him in the kingdom. Living for rewards is not a selfish thing. So don't think it is. Because Jesus Himself encouraged it. He said this: lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. He encourages us to do this. He encourages us to serve Him, because not only do we love Him, but for the rewards that He will give us. So He wants us to lay up for ourselves treasures in earth. Because I'm telling you right now, you're not going to take any treasures with you. So these treasures, we want to lay up for our Lord. My friend Todd's getting persecuted a little bit right now. He's born again. His wife's getting kind of angry. She doesn't understand this thing. Transformation. She doesn't understand. Pray for him. It's hard because, you see, as Jesus gives his followers these examples, these three examples, notice he gives three examples. One to a builder, one to a warrior, a soldier. I forgot the other one, but they drop out. It's easy to drop out and do nothing. It's very easy to do it. As I summarize this, we want to do this, first of all, as 1 John says, that when He appears, we shall not be ashamed. So in summarizing, the gift of eternal life, we find out, is a very easy thing to obtain. Takes childlike faith. The object of that childlike faith is Jesus Christ. He is the one who offers the gift of eternal life. And if you don't believe that, then you call God a liar. Because you have not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is the testimony, that His Son is eternal life. I hope you believe that today. And if you don't, today is the day you should. You're not promised tomorrow. So we see that the gift of eternal life is a very simple thing. It takes childlike faith in Christ alone. Faith alone in Christ alone. But being a disciple for Christ is a very difficult thing. It's like going to war and being outnumbered by 20,000. And that's exactly what it's like. But we do it because we want not only to please Jesus for saving us, but we want to receive the uttermost reward from Him. We want to be like Paul. We want to be first place. Stanley Cup Finals, when they win, they're both in the Stanley Cup Finals. World Series, Super Bowl.
It's interesting when the game's over, who's celebrating and who's not. Pretty interesting illustration, huh? Same thing happens to a Christian. Doesn't read the fine print in his fire insurance policy. He'll be shocked when he gets there to find out he's been disqualified. Is he going to hell? No. Will he rule and reign? No. But he'll still be saved. It's hard for us to comprehend things like this. We're not in a glorified state yet. We're still finite. We have a sinful nature. This is what the Bible teaches. Remember, you don't have to be a worldwide evangelist. Just find something to do in your local church and help out. Maybe you could start passing out tracts to people you see on the streets. That's an easy ministry. You don't have to get all into them. You can just say, here, I got something for you, and keep on walking. I found that early in my Christian life. It gave me a lot of, the Spirit of God would work in you. Do like my stepmother Phyllis used to do. She used to mail them out with bills. Excellent idea. She mailed tracts in her bills. Somebody's going to open it. But whatever you do, do it faithfully. Be an encouragement. You know, being an encouragement is a faithful gift. But whatever you decide to do in your Christian life, hopefully today, that is the day, make sure you do it faithfully. Because you don't want to be like the lazy and worthless servant Jesus talks about in the parable of the talents, which is a completely misrepresentation of the parable. He lost his talent, was given to the other man who had 10 talents. He was very discouraged after that. He was still a servant, lost the privileges of serving with his master, and he lost his reward for reigning with him. Never changed the fact that he was still his servant. Hope these things been eye-opening to you. I hope the next time you see somebody you know, it's probably been to this church or another church, still don't want you to assume that they're not saved. But maybe they are. And if you think like that, accountability's off them now, and it's on you. What are you going to do now? Are you going to spend time with them, discipling them, teaching them, spending week after week after week with them, and then they fall off again? And you say, ah, you know what, just forget it. Or are you going to start all over again? Remember, being a disciple is like going to war and being outnumbered by 10,000 men. That's an impossible task, you know. But we can do it because we're doing it for him. Because he loved us. And he continues to love us. May the Lord bless us. Father, we do give thanks for your word. Give thanks for the Holy Spirit. It convicts men of their sins, and it teaches them the ways of righteousness if they listen to it. Thank you for our Savior who gives the best examples of all. We pray that the Bible and the gospel message will be taught clearly, simply, leaving out works of righteousness for recommendations of salvation. We pray that our gospel message can get back to what it used to be, faith alone in Christ alone. We pray, dear Lord, that Christians can become disciples. They will spend time reading and teaching each other and helping those out there who are having difficulties with the faith. We pray for Curtis and everyone here today that you would help us to take these things with us as we realize we go out into this world and fight these foes of the devil, that we're in spiritual warfare. And help us not quit, as some of the disciples did it with Jesus. Many of his disciples went away and followed him no more. May that not be of us, Lord. May we not be happy with just fire insurance. May we spend the time to read the rest of the policy to realize that there's a time coming where we will stand and we will give an account of the things we've done for you. Bless us now as we depart, to be with our families and friends, in Jesus' name. Amen.